Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being a part of this Sunday School Hour of the Anchor Baptist Church. If you haven't done so yet, please take a moment to share this feed on your social media, wherever you're watching from. And hopefully your children are listening to their Sunday School lesson by now. Teenagers, you should be on Zoom by now. I'm sure everybody's well aware of that. The children's lesson, by the way, is at anchoredinjesus.com. And you just scroll down a little bit and you'll see that it's well marked for you. And we hope that your children are able to be a part of that. Any young person can listen to that, by the way. But it is there for Anchor Baptist Church. Young people, both Sunday school classes. We're videoing just one lesson for both right now, as you know. But anyone can listen, that's for sure. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue in the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for these parables that we've been learning from. As we begin now into a new section of parables, Holy Spirit of God, please help me to be able to focus on the Word and the truth and what you have for us in this hour. And may the listener as well be guided by your Spirit through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Matthew chapter number 18. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been looking at the kingdom parables. And we finished those up last Sunday. And now we're going into another section of parables. And so today we're in a new chapter of Matthew 18. We're going to begin looking at verse number 21, and the parable today is the unforgiving servant. The unforgiving servant. And I've kind of given it a subtitle as well. The subtitle would be Forgiveness Never Runs Out. Forgiveness Never Runs Out. And this text, verses 21 to 35, is following a time of teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ has had with his disciples. And Peter, we've been learning a lot about Peter in the 4 o'clock hour and looking at the book of Acts. Peter asked the Lord a question. Let's just read a few verses and then we're going to continue through this. Then came Peter, verse 21, then came Peter to him, to the Lord, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then now Jesus is going to go through and he's going to tell a parable about the unforgiving servant. I want you to look with me in verse 32, and we find a very powerful statement that really carries us through this particular Sunday school lesson today. And that is verse 32. It says, Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, notice these next three words, I forgave thee. I've underlined those words in my Bible. Maybe you'd like to do that as well. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Now that's kind of in the middle of this parable that we're reading that verse, but to me, that's a very powerful thought. I forgave thee. And you know, it's a story, it's a parable about a king and his servants, and then the servants and their fellow servants. But here in this particular verse, it is the king, who I believe is representative of our God, our Heavenly Father, speaking to a servant who I believe is representative of us here today. And about forgiveness. So here we see the Creator God of the universe, Jesus speaking in the form of a king. I believe he's talking about God the Father. The Creator God of the universe is willing to forgive. In fact, I believe our God desires to forgive. He desires to forgive. He wants to save you if you're not saved today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'll talk about that in a little bit. He wants to save you, and he is willing to save you. He will in no wise cast you out. He is not willing that any should perish, and other verses like that, but that all should come to repentance. Now, back to the beginning of our parable, and we see in verse 21 that Peter is someone who I want to be like at times and someone I don't want to be like at times. But I'm no Peter for sure. He was martyred for the Lord. So in a sense, I don't think any of us have anything to say about Peter except let's learn from him. And yes, he made mistakes, but I've made a whole lot more. But notice what Peter does. Peter asks a question and doesn't even give the Lord Jesus time to answer it. Notice in verse 21, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You know, you would think there would be a pause. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. This is part of the Godhead. This is God in flesh, co-equal, coexistent with God. This is the Lord Jesus. This is someone with all knowledge, omniscient. This is someone with all power, omnipotent. This is someone who could be anywhere at all times, omnipresent. Well, he had laid aside that particular quality, but he's here, he's with Peter, and Peter asks him a question and then doesn't even give him a chance to answer, and instead he answers. There seems to be here with Peter a getting ahead, if you will, a running ahead, if you will. I've been there before. You know, sometimes I think we need to bring our questions to the Lord, always, that is. We need to bring our whatever we need to know from the Lord. I'm not saying always questioning God. Not there is a time for that, as we see in the Word of God, but even of the Lord Jesus. But what I'm saying is, when we don't know the answer, let's take it to the Lord and let's wait. Let's wait for the answer. Peter here says, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Till seven times? He doesn't even give the Lord a chance to answer. And with Peter's statement, though, here's what we find. With Peter's statement, it would seem that there is an end to forgiveness. An end to forgiveness. Seven times, okay? Now, neither one of these numerical numbers we're going to look at are necessarily key, but they do, I think, represent something. In other words, it's not so, don't get hung up on the seven or the 490. The point is this. Peter's answer seems to be an end. It's easy to count to seven. Can you count to seven? Ready? Yes, I'm sure you can count to seven. We don't need to do that. The point is this. It seemed to be that there was an end to forgiveness. As we keep track of every time someone offends us, and by the way, the Bible says that offenses will come, but the Bible also says that His Word keeps us from being offended. I've just lost that verse. It was just there. Maybe it'll come back to me. And again, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So there is a way to avoid offense and being hyper offended all of the time. Love God's word, and it will help us, but offenses will come, the Bible tells us. But it seems like Peter is saying that when my brother sins against me, I'm going to keep track. And when he gets to seven, he's reached his limit. That's it. When you go over number seven, the number of perfection, when you get into number eight, and we won't go into all of the numbers, but that's going to be the end of it. I can't forgive you anymore. That's what it appears that Peter is saying. Now, maybe I'm reading into that, but maybe you would agree with me. And either way, I think we're pretty close in making that assumption. But I'm glad to report to you today from the Word of God that we can be confident to say this, that the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus never runs out. I believe that the Lord Jesus is teaching the same for us today, that forgiveness never runs out. Forgiveness is complete. Notice what Jesus says in verse number 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. No, God's forgiveness never runs out. God's forgiveness is perfect. The growing Christian is able, by God's grace, to give forgiveness even when it isn't asked for. Think about that. Think about the people in your life that have sinned against you. Think about the people in your life who have violated you. Think about the people in your life who have done something against you and have offended you. Offenses will come. But I want you to know that that is mild. That is so minimal compared to the list of sins that I have committed against a holy God. That is minuscule in comparison to the sins that you have committed against a holy God. I want to ask you this afternoon, have you come to a time in your life that you were unwilling to forgive? Now think about that. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor a little over 19 years in full-time ministry now for almost 25 years, I have had people tell me, I just can't forgive them. Now, I don't know exactly. How much to say here when it comes to why that would be the case when God has forgiven that individual. And these are people that claim to be Christians. These are people that claim to be children of God. These are people that claim, and again, I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm just saying, I don't know how in the world a child of God could ever come to the place in their life. Now, again, your situation is different, I'm sure, than mine. Mine is different than the other individual. And so, but it's not comparing ourselves among ourselves, because the Bible says that is not wise. No, it is taking my situation and in the light of the scriptures of the Word of God, forgiveness can never run out. It should never run out. Is there someone in your past that sinned against you in some way and you will not forgive them? Now you think about that. Is there someone right now, as soon as I said that, is there someone just like that, that God put somebody on your heart and you've been unwilling to forgive them? Well, at the end of this parable, we discover the one who would not forgive, think about it now, many of you know, the one who would not forgive was tormented. Tormented. Now I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, unforgiveness will bring torment into your life. Unforgiveness. Oh, my friends, this is a great parable for you and for me to take into our life today and examine ourselves and make sure that there's no one that we are unwilling to forgive. Now, before we get into the actual story itself, let's just kind of break down a couple of spiritual terms that many of you may be aware of when it comes to this particular parable, explaining these first. Number one, and that is this, two words to understand. Number one is the word relationship. Relationship. I want to ask you something. I mentioned it a moment ago. Do you know that you are a child of God? Do you know that? Do you know that? Well, you say, Pastor, yes, I'm a child of God. My parents were Christians. Okay, well, that's good that your parents were Christians, but that doesn't make you a child of God. Well, okay, Pastor, yes, I'm a child of God because I go to church. Well, that's great. I'm glad. I'm glad you go to church, but that doesn't make you a child of God. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm a Christian because I was baptized. Well, I hope that your baptism was biblical. But you know what? If that's what you are basing your Christianity on, or being a child of God on, I'm sorry, you're going to go to hell wet. In other words, you don't get saved by being baptized. How does this occur? How do we become a Christian? How does someone become a Christian? You know what? Again, we're not a Christian by being born into somebody's family. We're not a Christian by walking into a church, even if we do it every Sunday, every Wednesday, every revival. That doesn't make sense. We're not a Christian by repeating a prayer like a parrot would repeat a prayer. We're not a Christian by giving to charity, church and charities and other things like that. No, we're a Christian. We are Christian because we are born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, a very religious man, "You must be born again." When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, something happened. Here's what happened. He forgave me of all my sins, past, present, and future. He forgave me of all my sin. There was a debt that I could never pay. That debt was the sin debt. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That word wage there, it means penalty. It means payment. It means the debt that I owed because of my sin. It was impossible for me to pay that debt. But praise the Lord, God loves you and God loves me. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My relationship with God was made possible because Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life and shed his holy blood on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and 3 days later, up from the grave he arose like a mighty triumph for his foes. This is very important as we think about forgiveness, to recognize how much of a debt we owed. You owed. I owed. The debt was impossible for us to pay. Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Can you imagine that? Our God chooses to forget. He chooses in his omniscience, He chooses to forget. This quote, when we forgive, it means we do not bring them up anymore. If you say to someone, I forgive you of that, whether they've asked for it or not, I submit to you, you will not remind them of that violation. You will not remind them of that sin, or I am a firm believer that you have not forgiven them. Now, you're going to need God's help, and I'm going to need God's help to be able to forgive in this manner. Because, see, it was God who said, I will not remember their sins anymore. So we need the help of the Lord. If I'm constantly speaking of an offense in my past, I have not forgiven that individual. If you are bringing up what your husband did 5 years ago that you said you forgave him from, and you keep bringing it up, ma'am, you did not forgive him. Sir, if you keep talking to your wife about whatever it was that happened 6 months ago, 6 years ago, I've even known people to be hanging things over their spouse's heads for over a decade. They say they forgave them, but they were hanging it over their head and would constantly bring it up. I'm telling you today, that is not forgiveness. No, forgiveness says, by God's grace, I have forgiven you. We're not talking about this again. Now, that doesn't mean that forgiveness erases everything or the consequences or what comes from that. No, the Bible talks about law of sowing and reaping. Just because somebody is forgiven doesn't mean that the law of sowing and reaping is erased and they don't have to reap anything from that particular sin that was committed. What we're talking about today is that I am willing to offer forgiveness. Well, that's the word relationship. I became God's child by being born again of the Spirit of God. If you have never been born again, you cannot forgive as God wants you to forgive because you haven't received God's forgiveness yet. Oh, my friend, I would just stop right now and I would go to my knees if you can, if you're able to. I would just go to God right now and humbly say in faith and repentance, God, I'm a sinner. God, you know that already. God, my sin, I can't pay my debt, but I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, was crucified and buried and then rose again so that I could be forgiven. And God, right now, I want to make Jesus Christ my personal Savior. I'm no longer trusting in anything else. I'm putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to say it like that. I'm just saying you could go to the Lord right now. And in fact, I would say that's the most important part of the lesson today is if you're not saved, that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of a relationship. Now, I want you to go with me quickly in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. And I want you to look with me in verse number 5. The second word by way of introduction, we're going to get into the parable, but the second word by way of introduction is this. It's the word fellowship. The word fellowship. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have, there it is, fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, 1 John was written to believers. Written to believers. There's a big difference between relationship and fellowship, okay? The word confess in verse number 9, many of you know and you've heard this, means to agree with God, to agree with God. So if we confess our sins, if we agree with God that this was wrong, if we agree with God that my temper is wrong, if we agree with God that lying is wrong, if we agree with God that bitterness and, hey, if we agree with God that unforgiveness is wrong, it's a sin. We should be willing. Why? The Bible says it even talks about it in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Come to that verse later, of course. So, now, sin is a problem, not just that it condemns someone to hell, but sin is also a problem after someone has become a child of God. Sin, in every relationship, now we're looking at the relationship with our God here in 1 John chapter 1. Sin affects, number one, sin affects my fellowship with God. Notice it says there, If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is not saying that we are not saved anymore if we sin. No, fellowship is different than relationship. Okay, fellowship means agreement. It means agreement. Okay, so that means that if I got up this morning and if I raised my voice and hollered and screamed at my wife and it wasn't because there was an emergency and I was trying to help her, that I lost my temper, then my fellowship with God, first and foremost, is now affected by that. Because there's no point, there's no purpose in me getting angry at my wife. That's not husbands love your wives. Not only did that affect the fellowship with God, but it affected the fellowship with my wife. And if my children heard the same outburst, then it affected my fellowship with them too. Now, am I still married to my wife did I lose the marriage because I yelled at my wife? All of a sudden, I don't have a relationship with her anymore? No, still married. Do I automatically, by yelling at my wife, am I no longer the parent of my children because I sinned against my wife and I sinned against my children and that's it? I'm no longer her husband. I'm no longer their dad. And you lose that relationship. No, no, no. See, sin, after I become a child of God, sin is still damaging, greatly damaging, so much so that it affects my fellowship with my wife, my kids. Every relationship, sin affects our fellowship in every relationship. God and me, husband and wife, parent and child, church member and church member, and on it goes. We must move on here. So fellowship is agreement. Fellowship is agreement. In this parable, our Lord helps Peter and the other followers with this clear teaching. He mentions in verses 23 and 24, let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. He mentions in verses 23 and 24, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. All right? So don't lose sight of the introduction, because really the introduction is half and the parable is half. We have a relationship with God today through being born again of the Spirit of God, recognizing our sinful condition, recognizing and believing that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died, was buried, and rose again, shed his blood, is alive and liveth evermore, seated on the right hand of the throne of the Father, and we can be born again today if we would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance and be saved, and it would be settled once and for all. Now, when sin comes in, it doesn't affect my relationship, but it does affect my fellowship. And so that's where we jump into the story, the unforgiving servant. So the king, remember, the king is our heavenly Father, and the fellow servants are you and me. If that's right English, I don't know. Anyway, let's get into the outline. Number one, we see in verses 25 to 27, number one, big number one, a debt that could not be paid. Look at verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, so what had happened was there was someone who owed, verse 24 says, that one of the servants owed the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Can you believe this? The king said the only way this debt's going to be paid is if you sell everything, you're sold, your wife is sold, your children are sold. In other words, there was really no way this man could pay this debt. He would have absolutely nothing. Now, in today's terminology, we're told that 10,000 talents would be equal to millions and millions and millions of dollars. So here we see that this servant, he had either somehow, again, it's a parable. Jesus is trying to teach Peter something here. And by the way, Jesus is trying to teach us something here today. Well, I tell you what would it do in your relationships if you had a spirit of forgiveness? You know what most people want? They want somebody else to have forgiveness toward them. You be the leader, okay? You be the leader in your home. You be the leader in your marriage. You be the leader within your children. You be the leader within your siblings. You be the leader within your grown siblings. You know, it's amazing how many adult siblings don't have a relationship with one another anymore because something happened and there's no the forgiveness that's been offered or the forgiveness isn't being received, it isn't being given. And these are quote-unquote people that believe the Lord. Now, it's hard if someone isn't going to take your forgiveness. It's hard. I understand. I know some situations like that. But you still be willing to forgive, and you go to the Lord, and you make it right with the Lord, and you know in your heart of hearts, you don't want to be tormented by it. We'll get to that. So this man had a debt. There was no way he could pay. Basically, he would have nothing left, and that was amazing. Now, look at verse 26. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So this servant goes to his Lord and says, give me some time. Give me some time. And he doesn't really say it in the way of give me, give me, give me. I mean, he's worshiping him. He's fallen down, which is a sign of humility. And he's saying, I just give me some time. Give me some time. I can come up with the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't know. And maybe the Lord knew that there was no way. And he said he was going to pay him everything. End of verse 26. Oh, just give me some time. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. You know what? I would underline those words. Moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Number two. The debt was forgiven. Number one, we said that there was a debt that could not be paid. But number two, the debt was forgiven. The Lord of the servant had compassion toward the servant. He didn't just say to him. Now, it would have been generous of this Lord, this king, to say to his servant, okay, I'll give you 6 months. That would have been generous. That would have been a bonus. That would have given him some time to figure out how in the world he could come up with the 10,000 talents. That would have given him the time allotted. That would have been very generous. But notice what the Lord says. He says in verse 27, he was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him. Circle those words, forgave him the debt. He didn't just give him 6 months to come up with the 10,000 talents. He didn't give him a year to come up with it. He loosed him. He set him free from the chains of debt that this servant owed him millions and millions of dollars in 2020. And the Bible says here that he forgave him. In other words, we would say it this way, that his slate was wiped clean. There was no more markings on his slate, a piece of paper, slate. All of what he owed him, it was wiped off and it was clean. The bill was, or maybe we would say, paid in full. The mortgage was covered. I don't know how you can think about all of the different ways that we have debts in our day, but the debt was paid. It was like taking out a mortgage. If we were to take out a mortgage for Anchor Baptist Church, I mean, it would be just so astronomical to get a building. I'm just using that as an example. I believe God can pay for a whole building for Anchor Baptist Church. I hope you're praying for that. I hope we're praying for the will of God in this month of 30 days of prayer and fasting, and the journey is continuing, and we're seeing God do great and mighty things. But this man had a debt that could not be paid. Doesn't that remind you of something in your life? It sure does me. Before I became related to God and got saved, I had a debt that I could not pay. We talked about that, remember? Oh, my sin debt was so long. My list was so extensive. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus paid it all. Or the song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but his blood washed it white as snow. It's clean today. My debt was so high, there were not enough zeros to put beside the number one or two or three. God simply forgave my entire debt. He forgave your entire debt if you've trusted him as your Savior. This was just as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that forgiveness could be provided is because of what Jesus Christ was willing to do. He had compassion here in this story. He's telling Peter, Peter, you don't get it, Peter. You owed a debt and I forgave you. And later on in Peter's life, he's going to deny the Lord and the Lord's going to forgive him. Now let's not pound on old Peter, because you and I have denied the Lord many times over, this way and that way, and yet the Lord forgives us. Oh, I thank God that He forgave our entire debt. Now, something interesting happens in our parable. Many of you know, look at verse 28. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. So somebody who's equal to him. The Lord is up here, and the servant was down here, and the Lord said, I forgive you all your debt. Wiped out. Just like God looks down from heaven at me and says, Ben, I've forgiven you all your debt. You owe me nothing. Your sins have been buried in the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, I will remember them no more. Fellow servant goes out, found one of his buddies, which owed him 100 pence. I'm told that this amount that he was owed would have been pennies compared to what he owed his Lord. He owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him. Did the master ever lay hands on the servant at the beginning? Did the king ever lay hands on him? No. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Wow. For pennies compared to what he owed. He took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. Look at verse 28. Obviously, he wasn't just whispering that. He wasn't just loosely giving that out. If he's holding him by the throat, I can see that he's upset. He's maybe got veins popping out, and he's saying, pay me! Wow. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Exactly what he had just done when he owed millions. Have patience, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Number three, the forgiven was unwilling to forgive. What a sad verse of Scripture. So sad. Here's a man who he was wiped clean from a debt of, let's just say, $10 million. He has a friend who owes him a dollar. Whatever. It doesn't matter, even if it's $100. The point is this, he owed him so little compared to what he owed his Lord that it's so sad that he had the audacity to put his hands on him around his throat and demand that he be paid what he was owed, and demand, or else you're going into jail. This man has no compassion whatsoever. How could this man forget so quickly the compassionate eyes of his Lord as his Lord looked down at him and said, you don't owe me anything? How could he forget so quickly? I submit to you, it's the same thing that happens in your life, and it's the same thing that happens in my life when we are not willing to forgive our fellow man, when our holy God has forgiven our entire debt. Somebody sins against you, it doesn't matter how many times, there is no way it can compare to what you sin, how you and I sinned against the holy God. How sad it is for believers to withhold forgiveness from their fellow man. How sad it is. How sad it is here in this story. Number three, the forgiven was unwilling to forgive. Number four, unforgiveness impacts others. Unforgiveness impacts others. You know what there was in this story, in this parable? There was a disruption between the servants due to unforgiveness. There was a disruption between a man and his fellow servant. He threw him in jail. That impacted this man. That impacted this man's family. That impacted, I believe it would have impacted had there been other servants around. Again, using a little bit of a biblical imagination here, if you will. Not trying to add to the text, but Unforgiveness obviously brings disunity. Unforgiveness brings disunity in your home. And here. Unforgiveness always brings disunity within a local church. Oh, Anchor Baptist Church, God help us that we never get to a place of unforgiveness. God help you. God help me. And I tell you what, God humble us if we're not willing to forgive a brother, if we're not willing to forgive a sister, if we're going to hold something over someone's head for a decade. How sad that is. And by the way, that is not a godly testimony. It impacts others. And I believe this, it impacts especially the lost world as they look in and they see that the family of God is not willing to forgive one another. Forgiveness impacts others. Number five, unforgiveness is wicked. It's just plain wicked. Look at verse 32 and 33. Let's read 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. See, there's other servants. I forgot, I meant to read that in the last point. It affected them, didn't it? They were sorry. Look at the impact that it had on them. They were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Oh, they were there grieved in spirit. Why? Because their fellow servant would not forgive their fellow servant. They were all servants together of the one Lord, just like we are today. Look, it's not about just you and it's not about just me. We're serving the Lord together. And it affects one another when we're not willing to forgive. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, Oh, thou wicked servant, here it is, I forgave thee. But notice what he called him, a wicked servant. A wicked servant. The Lord says to each of us this afternoon, I forgave you. I forgave you. I have forgiven you. I must be very quick to forgive others. I must be very quick to forgive. When I don't forgive, I'm saying that God's forgiveness to me doesn't mean what it should. I really believe that. When I don't forgive, I'm saying that I don't believe that God's forgiveness means what it should to me. No, God's forgiveness should mean everything to me. The Lord says, you are a wicked servant. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Unforgiveness will always torment you. Unforgiveness will always torment us. We grieve the Lord when we refuse to forgive. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. I'm not going to take the time to go over there and read it, but it talks about grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And within the same context, it says in Ephesians 4, 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So as I've mentioned this many times over the years, I do not forgive for the sake of the one who has sinned against me. I do not forgive for my sake. I forgive for Christ's sake. God forgave me for Christ's sake. We forgive one another for Christ's sake. Again, don't make it about you. It's not about you. No one has sinned against you like you sinned against God. No one has sinned against me like I've sinned against God. Forgiveness should never run out. And when that sense of unforgiveness comes over you, begin to remember the old rugged cross. When you begin to get mad and angry, and I'm not forgiving that person, you know what? Take a step back, sir. Calm down, take a chill pill, and go read about the crucifixion in all the gospel accounts. While you're reading about the crucifixion, remember, it wasn't the soldiers that nailed him there. It was my sin. It was your sin. I'm so thankful today that our God is always willing to forgive. Dear friend, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be forgiven. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Past sin, present sin, future sin. Forgiven only can happen through the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, why not make today the day of your salvation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in Sunday school this afternoon. Oh God, I thank you so much for your forgiveness. I'm undeserving. Lord, please help me to be a better person willing to forgive. Lord, please help Anchor Baptist Church to be a church that's willing to forgive. Oh God, help us If we struggle with something in our life, unwilling to forgive, help us to go to the cross and see all that you gave so that we could be forgiven. If there's anyone listening right now, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray right now that they would turn to you and be saved. And if, Lord, you're dealing with others that need to reach out to a family member, reach out to a friend, I pray they would not delay before the day is out even somehow. By tomorrow for sure, they would make something right that needs to be made right. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being a part of Sunday School this afternoon. In just a few minutes, we'll have our 4 p.m. service. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you then. God bless you.